I invite you to turn your Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2 is where we'll get started from this morning. It's good to be with you. It's a great day. Man, beautiful weather. It's beautiful yesterday after the storms that came through. Spring is on the horizon, and it's good to see you out and about today. As I get older, there's not a lot of new things I get to do. You know, you've already eaten somewhere at a certain restaurant, or you've gone to the beach, or you've gone to see a musical, or you've done some things. After a while, you've kind of done a lot of things. But last week, I got to do something that I'd never done before. So someone asked me, it was actually Matt Jones's sister, asked me to come to their office, where she's a real estate agent, and help them with a prayer service. So when she asked me, I was like, yeah, I would love to do that. I mean, that's great. Who does that? But she has, I guess, for some time been trying to organize something spiritual at their office. So they're real estate agents. And she said, hey, we got a lot of people and we want to make this like a Tuesday, you know, thing we're going to do. And we're going to have everybody in and we're going to have breakfast for people. And we want you to just kind of give a talk for a little bit and then we'll have some prayers. And I thought, I mean, this is great. I mean, who does this? And so I show up here in town to the thing, and I mean, they had 30-ish people show up voluntarily who just wanted to participate in some kind of pre-work spiritual activity. I mean, I was so fired up and encouraged because they didn't know me from anybody. But the fact that they wanted to get there and pray. So they all had written down things that they wanted prayed for, and the list was so big you couldn't even pray for everything that people had going on. And as I left there and I thought to myself about that situation, I was like, man, we should do more of that. And I thought, I have no idea what would happen at AT&T if I sent out an email. I was like, you want to get together for prayer? I mean, you might have some people. You might be surprised. But you might get pushback. But who knows? Unless you try. Just grateful for her for the opportunity. Grateful for the people there. And it got me thinking this week about how much of a failure I am when it comes to prayer. Man, there's a lot of things we can just knock out, right, as Christians. You want to talk about needing to be at services? Hey, I'm going to be there. You want to talk about, you know, all the commands that God gives us to do? Yeah, I'm going to do those. But sometimes when you read the Bible and it talks about how we're to be people of prayer and how we're to pray all the time and all those sorts of things, and you look at your life and kind of contrast that, there's work to do. Man, there's work to do when it comes to praying, at least in my life, maybe not in yours. But it's one of those things that as a Christian, we need encouraged in time and time again. And so that's my goal for this lesson this morning. I've titled it Devoted to Prayer. That's taken from Colossians chapter 4. We'll read a verse from there in a minute. But the idea that I was reading through Colossians and Paul asked the church, I need you to be devoted to prayer. That's a tough thing to swallow, because if someone asks me if I'm devoted to prayer, well, I mean, I pray. I say prayers. But I don't know if I would characterize myself as being devoted to prayer. I want to encourage that to you this morning as we study together in our lesson. And I want you to think about your life and relationship to God and just answer the simple question. How devoted am I to prayer? And what can we do to improve that? And our goal this morning is pretty simple. We're going to read some passages together that explain that concept. And then we're going to think a little bit about what it means to be devoted to something. And then we're going to talk about, hey, are there some things that we could spend our time praying for that might be helpful to kind of kickstart you in that prayer devotion? So I hope the time together this morning is helpful. And I appreciate you being here and the encouragement that you've shown already in singing together and praying and reading scripture and all those things. All right, so let's jump in then. I mentioned to you Colossians 4:2. And if you turn over there in your Bibles, I mean, this is what it says. And it doesn't say too much more about this, but this is just simply what it says. Devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving. Devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving. Now we could spend time, and I thought about it, breaking down this verse and talking about what it means to be alert or watchful during prayer. You see that a lot mentioned sometimes. But the idea of including thanksgiving in our prayers, which we probably need encouraged to do sometimes, because when we pray, it can solely be focused on what I need. And that's not the breadth of prayer God wants us to pray. But when you think about this verse, just think about this phrase and think about this word. And is this unusual? Is this idea of being devoted to prayer unusual in the Bible? You can say, no, this is not. There's a bunch of verses we could look at. I got some on the board. I ask you to turn to 1 Timothy 2. And I think it's important to read just a few verses from here. In 1 Timothy 2, he says, "First of all, then I urge that entreaties and prayers and petitions and thanksgivings be made on behalf of all men, for kings and all who are in authority, so that we may lead a tranquil and quiet life in all godliness and dignity." This is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. So here he opens up telling Timothy, like, first of all, I need you guys to start praying. I need you to pray. And he gives them a reason and something to pray for, because God wants everybody to be saved. And if God wants everyone to be saved, let's pray for a country that is free enough to allow us to worship and share the gospel. And he goes on to explain how things ought to be done in the church by saying, look, I desire then that in every place the men should pray, lifting holy hands without anger or quarreling. Now I want to pause for a minute. If you're familiar with 1 Timothy 2, you're probably familiar with what comes after that, about women's roles in the church and in the assembly, and some very important things that, again, are timeless by nature. But again, how often do we go to 1 Timothy 2 when we talk about men's roles in the church? And what Paul said, I want men to be focused on and known for in the assembly. That I want you to be able to tell men that I need you doing what in every place? I need you praying. I need you leading in this great thing I've asked you to do. God wants everybody to be saved, and so we need to pray for an environment where salvation can be possible. And so I need you men everywhere to pray. Let me just say this at the beginning of the lesson. When we talk about being devoted to prayer, guess who needs to lead this effort? Men. Right, so if you're sitting here and you're thinking, hey, you know, I'm sitting by my wife and she's thinking like, oh, we should be devoted to prayer. The wife may be thinking, I guess I'm going to have to do it. I guess I'm going to have to do it with my family because my husband's not going to do it. And the husband, you're sitting there thinking like, no, I'm going to do it today. What are we going to do? And again, this isn't just like, hey, I'm going to say a prayer after the meal. This is say a prayer before the meal. This is like being devoted to prayer. This is what we need to do. Like, I need to be able to be counted on to lead in this effort. And again, just mildly, but don't take this the wrong way, we love to sing. Like, we're going to have a singing today. Prayer needs to be high on the list of things we love and need to do. Whether corporately, whether alone, whether together with our families, or together with the church, like, we need to be devoted to it. To the point where, hey, that's exciting. And when as many people show up for prayer as they would show up for singing. And I don't know if that's the case, but it's required. Because he continues on to the Thessalonians saying, hey, I need you to pray without ceasing. Isn't that a funny phrase? Pray without ceasing. What does that mean? It means don't stop doing it. But he can't really mean don't stop doing it, because I got other things to do, right? And so we sweep that verse under the rug, where I don't know what he really means. He probably just means like do it a lot. Prayer ought to be, for a Christian, something that we are constantly in. Constantly in prayer. Now what does that mean? Well, it means when you wake up in the morning, what should your first thought be? God gave me another day. I mean, thank God for that. Could you have died in your sleep last night? Yeah. Could God have come back? Yeah. 100 things could have happened. But here I am. Praise God for this day. I'm going to rejoice and be glad in it. What should we do as you go through the day? And I'm grateful to God for the meal that is set before me. I'm grateful to God when I sit down at the computer and I turn on my laptop. God gave me a job. I'm grateful for the money that I have to buy things at the store, provide for my family. And I'm grateful for my family. And we turn around and we think about people and we get text messages and emails, and I'm constantly praying for them. And I'm thinking about, oh man, I hate that. And then your mind will wander to a family member or somebody or something, and you're like, oh man, I need to pray for them. And as you transition to the rest of the day and you transition to nightfall, what are you praying for? What are you doing? That ought to be the characteristic of Christians, that we're constantly praying to God. And that's what we're called to do. And fourth, I love this story in Acts chapter 6. We've studied it recently. But just the idea that the church was neglecting certain people in the daily administration of food. And the apostles had this to say about serving widows. I don't have time for that. Why would you say that? I don't have time for that. Because there are a few things more important that they needed to be focused on. And notice what those things were. But we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word. Is there anything more important than taking food to a widow? Apparently there was. And it was prayer. Not that it's an either or. Not that the widows need to go hungry. But that the people that need to be praying need to be praying. And the best thing they could do for the church and the kingdom was to continue to be devoted to prayer. Does that sound like you? Does that sound like me? It probably doesn't. I mean, how many times have you called me and said, hey, Stephen, can you come help? And I was like, no, I'm praying tonight. You got to call somebody else. I'm going to be in prayer. And we generally don't do that. I mean, prayer is something that it'll happen when nothing else is happening. And I want you to appreciate the priority the apostles put on this very important practice, that we are going to be devoted to prayer and to the ministry of the word. So as we think about those verses, I mean, hopefully you're grounded now just on the expectation that God has, that prayer is a serious part of our Christian life. But you might be asking yourself the question, I mean, what does it mean to be devoted to prayer? Now, if you've got your Bibles, there's probably different translations that you read. Some of your translations may say, continue steadfastly in prayer. Yours may say devoted, or it may use some other word. But if you go and look at the Greek word from which our translation is given, there's several definitions that describe the idea of being devoted. And so, this is why it's translated differently. There's a handful here. To be devoted, I always love definitions where they just use the word in there. It means to be devoted to. To be steadfastly attentive and to give unremitting care to a thing. To continue all the time in a place. To persevere and not to faint. To show oneself courageous for. To be in constant readiness for. Or to wait on constantly. So, I thought it would be good for us to take a minute and just think about really what it means to be devoted. And so, because if I tell you to be devoted to prayer and you don't know, what have I done? So I got three things I'll share with you. Number one, when I think about this definition of being devoted, it means to be steadfastly attentive to and to give unremitting care to a thing. Here's a picture of Eric from the hospital. I know many of you have been praying for that man. I mean, is there anybody that's gone through more just weird medical stuff than Eric Page? No. I mean, from dialysis for years, kidney transplant, multiple surgeries, heart valve stuff that he's going through now. But let me tell you, what has happened to Eric has not happened to him alone. There's been somebody that's been there with him this whole time. Right? You think about his wife, Lynn, who from all of the surgeries and ups and downs with health stuff, it hasn't just affected him, it's affected her. And at every turn, what do we find about her? She is devoted to him. She's devoted in what way? She is giving unremitting care to. Nonstop care. And so if she's able to do for him and be there for him, she is. And so I talked to them today. She's going down there as soon as the ICU allows her to be able to go in there and visit. And ICU is a different place, right? Can't walk in there and out of it like a train station. They want people to recuperate. And so her visiting hours and ability to stay there are limited. But in general, this is what I want you to think of. When you think of being devoted to prayer, be devoted to prayer like Lynn is devoted to Eric. That's what I want you to think about. When you are devoted to prayer, you are constantly caring for that thing. Number two, when you think about being devoted to prayer, another definition that stuck out to me was definition number three. It means to continue all the time in a place. And so my first thought was, hey, that's like somebody in a jail cell. And in honor of Women's History Month, I put a woman on the picture of her in jail. So, yeah, I mean, there's all genders are bad, right? When you think about that, this is what I want you to think about. When God says be devoted to prayer, I want you to be devoted to prayer like a prisoner is to their jail cell. What does that mean? Well, I'm not leaving. I don't get an opportunity to leave. Well, do prisoners leave their jail cell? Sure they do. But it's only briefly, and then they're right back to it. That's how a Christian ought to be with prayer. That it's not something that we just do every once in a while, that it's so infrequently that nobody would associate us with that. No way. It is something that is such a part of our life that it's like a prisoner in a jail cell. And then fourth, and hopefully less offensive, the idea of persevering and not fainting. You know, I know many of you are runners. I know many of you like to do 5Ks and try to even trick me into doing a 5K with you, which hasn't worked yet. But how would you feel if you're running a race and you're lining up here for the turkey trot and coming and you see this nice Kenyan guy next to you? What do you think's about to happen? You're about to lose. You're about to lose bigly. Yeah, when you think about that, when you think about that situation, there are some people that are marathoners whose bodies are trained to not faint. And while I might run a very fast pace for a very short distance, there are some people that are going to run fast and they're going to go long. And they're going to be able to continue and to persevere and not quit. And that's the idea of being devoted to something, that you're going to continue in it. Be devoted to prayer like a Kenyan in a marathon. And so I want you to think about those three things and tie those back to your prayer life. Would anybody say that about you? That's what God wants for us. And there are multiple times to this end that God has tried to encourage us to appreciate and understand these things. If you got your Bibles, I want you to turn to Luke 18. And I want to read a story there with you that'll help encourage us to appreciate what God wants us to be like in prayer. And I put an example up as we kind of kick off the story of what probably our prayer lives are like. Would you say this is your prayer life? Like, we talk about being devoted to prayer, but this is probably you, right? You're devoted to prayer like I am to a stop sign. We're going to get there and we might roll to a slow crawl, but we're probably just going ahead and going. And it was funny, the boys, they were watching me put this together, and one of them was like, oh, Dad, that's a race car. Yeah, that's a race car. No, it's just a normal car at a stop sign. But that's how we are with prayer. Like, no, Stephen, I'm going to pray, but it's going to be the shortest period of time that you may ever see. No, no, no. God's got more in store for us than that. In Luke 18, Jesus was telling them a parable, it says, to show that at all times they ought to pray and to not lose heart. Saying, in a certain city there was a judge who did not fear God, did not respect man. There was a widow in that city. She kept coming to him, saying, give me legal protection from my opponent. For a while, he was unwilling. But afterward, he said to himself, even though I do not fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow bothers me, I will give her legal protection. Otherwise, by continually coming, she will wear me out. And the Lord said, hear what the unrighteous judge said. Now will not God bring about justice for his elect, who cry to him day and night? And will he delay long over them? I tell you that he will bring about justice for them quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth?" I want you to appreciate the story for a second. We've talked about it in the past in a sermon, but I want you to appreciate it for the broad thing that Jesus is trying to teach us. That when it comes to being people of prayer, we've got to spend time in it. We've got to be devoted to it. And part of that devotion means I've got to be persistent and continual in it. And that's what this story is about. That there's power in prayer, but there's power in the persistence of prayer. There's power in coming and saying it again and saying it again. And that's what Jesus says. Like, I want you to pray and not lose heart. I want you to be people where God sees your faith in Him demonstrated by your continual coming and praying. Now, I don't know about you, but it's hard for me to do that. I mean, on one hand, I think about God and I think about this. Why would I need to tell God multiple times? Like, God heard it. God knows what I need. And I almost just say, hey, I'm going to tell God once and God's got it. And maybe that demonstrates faith, but maybe it demonstrates a weakness on my part or a shortcut on my part. Because Jesus is giving us the story of this woman who had no relationship with a guy. She had no claim to any kind of legal help. She didn't have him on retainer. She had no relationship with him. And this guy said, I don't even like people. I'm an unrighteous judge. I don't care about her. What I care about is myself. But just to stop her from continually bothering me, I'm going to give in to her demands. And he goes on to flip that by saying, look, God's way better than this unrighteous guy. God cares about you. And God loves you. And we'll talk more about that. But again, what is God trying to encourage us to do? God wants to see our persistence demonstrated. And what does it demonstrate? Our faith in God that He'll do it. You know, if you come to God and pray, and you pray one time, and you're like, hey, God, this is what I need. And then you walk away, what does that really show God? Maybe it's like flipping a coin in the old fountain. That we'll do it once, but I'm not thinking about it. Have you ever seen anybody flip a coin in a fountain? Have you ever seen anybody with like rolls of coins, like they're at the casino, and they're like, keep flipping this thing till it works? No, at some point you think like, this person's lost their mind. That's how we are with prayer. Right? We'll give it a go, but I'm not really wrapping up my mind and thinking that anything's going to happen. And so we don't go back to the well. We don't go back to God. We don't continue in it. And Jesus says, no, you get discouraged. I don't want you to lose heart. I want you to have faith that God is going to be able to do and take care of you. Now, just a few chapters earlier in Luke chapter 11, we get another story. In verse 1, and just think about this. It happened that while Jesus was praying in a certain place, that after he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray. Just as John also taught his disciples. I don't want to pause there for a second. Could you imagine hearing Jesus pray? I mean, there are some guys that lead good prayers. I know there are some women that say great prayers. I mean, but could you imagine hearing Jesus pray? After Jesus is finished, his disciples just universally said, you got to tell us what to do. Like, we want to pray like you. And he gives them what we refer to as the Lord's Prayer. When you pray, say this. But I want you to pick up at verse 5. Suppose one of you has a friend and goes to him at midnight and says to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine's come from a journey and I have nothing to set before him. And from inside he answers and says, do not bother me. The door's already been shut. My children and I are in bed. I can't get up and give you anything. I tell you, even though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and he who knocks, it will be open. Verse 13, if you being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those that ask Him? Another example of prayer, and yet it's another story of persistence. of devotion to prayer, of not giving up, of not quitting, of someone that's committed. And this guy was so committed, he was like somebody that needed food and he wasn't going to leave your door until you got up. Could you imagine someone banging on your door at midnight? Now, here in Georgia, you just get shot and that'd be the end of it. You go back to bed. But no, if you knew it was one of your friends, you might be like, okay, I mean, what's going on? But let me tell you, if someone continues to knock and someone continues to knock and someone continues to knock, guess what's going to happen? At some point, you're going to get up. Why? Because I can't sleep. I can't sleep like this. I can't stand continuing to hear the same thing over and over again. I'm going to go address the need and the problem. And God's like, look, if I can use an example of you evil people, what do you think is going to happen with me? When you need something and you reach out to me. I mean, the main takeaway from this, as he goes on to explain, is look, you need to come knock at the door. You want to receive? It starts with knocking. It starts with asking. And the door will be open to you. And he gives them an example. And he gives them some assurance of his own character. That I know how and love you enough to take care of you. But what I need to see from you is your persistence in asking and knocking. And then third, over in Matthew chapter 26, if you want to turn there. I mean, as you see Jesus himself praying to God, and you see him in this moment before his crucifixion, and you see him in the garden praying, it just says, sit here, he says to his disciples in verse 36, while I go over there and pray. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee and began to be grieved and distressed. And he said to them, my soul's deeply grieved to the point of death. Remain here and keep watch with me. And he went a little beyond them and fell on his face and prayed, saying, my Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me, yet not as I will, but as you will. And he came to the disciples and found them sleeping and said to Peter, so you men could not keep watch with me for 1 hour? Keep watching and praying that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And he went away a second time and again prayed, saying, my Father, if this cannot pass away unless I drink it, your will be done. And verse 44, he left them again and went and prayed a third time, saying the same thing once more. You know, it's funny. I mean, I view praying almost as like I would communicate to someone like you. You know, to ask you something. And then once I've said that or said what I'm going to say, I'm not going to say the same thing again. What do you think about someone when they tell you the same thing over and over again? Oh, he's got dementia. Okay. You know, that's what you do when you're crazy. I'll just keep telling you the same thing over and over again. But with prayer, it's different. You see, how do I know it's different? Well, God's been explaining to us in two parables that he wants us to continue coming and asking what we need over and over again. And here in Jesus' own life, this snapshot of his prayer, he goes, and again, moments before his death, what's he doing? He's going to pray. He's praying to God. And what does he do while he prays? He says something. And is he done praying? No. I'm going to go back and I'm going to say it again. And I love what it says the third time. He goes back and he prays the same words the third time. I mean, what does that tell you about God? Is he bothered by our continual coming? No. Is he bothered by hearing our same needs over and over again? No, no. That's what prayer is. That's what it means to be devoted to it. I'm going to be here. It's going to be me. I'm not stopping this thing. And that's what he wants us to be. People that are devoted to prayer. And so I encourage you. Jesus prayed for the same thing multiple times. So as we begin to wrap up our lesson, I want you. And look, I apologize about the hour-long lesson last night. Like, throwing you a bone this week. And as you think about this truth, they're wrapped up in simple verses. I need you to be devoted to prayer. And that may be something that if you look at your life, we're not devoted to. We don't spend time with it. We don't visit it. We don't take care of it. We give up in it. And so if you're like me and you're sitting here thinking about how am I going to get better at this, the first thing you always think about is, well, I don't know how I would pray a long time for anything. And I think people say that very honestly. You know, when you read about Jesus going all night in prayer, I mean, what could you even say all night to God about anything? I'm just honest. Like, it's honestly what we might say to ourselves. And so I thought it would be helpful at the end of our lesson for me to give you 10 things. They're super quick. 10 things that I think will help you make prayer something that you find you can be devoted to. Because there are things that really need to be prayed for and you can spend time in. So you can make your own list. You can put together some things. But I'll give you my 10 as we think together. Number one, when it comes to praying to God, a lot of prayers in the Bible include confession of sins. Now we do that, right? I mean, we say, hey, Father, forgive us of our sins. And that's fine. I mean, but it's pretty brief. It's not very specific. And we can almost be too general sometimes when we're talking about our own shortcomings. I think it'd probably be beneficial for us to confess to God the things we know we've personally done that are wrong. Now, if you start thinking about that, and you start thinking about the breadth of your sins, well, you could pray about, hey, like, think about being a young guy. I mean, what sins would a young guy have? I don't know. There's probably a lot, right? I mean, if you started listing them out, you might, okay, well, I got something I can pray for. Maybe we haven't demonstrated being a Christian at school or with our friends, right? I've kind of not been the kind of person I need to be. Maybe I've done some things I shouldn't have done. Maybe I've lied. Maybe I've done some stuff. You think about maybe as an adult man, you know, have you been the kind of dad you need to be? Have you been the kind of husband you need to be? All of a sudden, you start thinking about your relationship to others and the things you haven't done for God. And, man, have I been the kind of son I'm supposed to be? All of a sudden, when you start looking at yourself and thinking about things I could tell God I'm sorry for, you can be devoted to that for some time. I mean, we're being honest, and I hope we are, that we could spend time to God confessing our sins to Him and things we've done to let Him down. Number two, which goes back to 1 Timothy 2, we could pray for our country. Anybody think our country doesn't need prayer? Wow, no. I mean, we kind of made a mess of things. We've made a mess of things for a while. Well, was America not needing prayer in the 1700s? We needed prayer in the 1700s. Needed prayer in the 1800s, 1900s. Needed prayer in the 2000s. They're going to continue to need prayer. What do we need to pray for? I mean, there's 1,000 things you could pray for. We could confess national sins. We could pray for peace like he talks about. We could pray for Biden. And the worse our leaders, hold on, hear me now. The worse our leaders, the more they need our prayers. Pray for them. And so don't sit here and complain to me about how bad the leaders are in America. You should be spending more time in God telling Him how bad the leaders are in America. And tell God what you want and what you need. And pray for those men and women in our government that they can come to a knowledge of the truth. I mean, you can spend all day praying for the ills of America. Three, how about this? Man, we need to continue in prayer with thanksgiving. Multiple passages talk about that. Could you spend time with God thanking Him for the things that you have? Now, that's not going to be a stop sign prayer, is it? That's not a rolling stop. No, that's 100 things that I could thank God for. And yet, you ever been sick? What do you think when you're sick? Man, I can't wait to get... I took for granted all those times I was well. I mean, I remember having a stomach bug, laying on, upside down on the floor, thinking to myself, I will never take for granted when you're not nauseous. Then you forget, don't you? It's just kind of normal. But man, when you go through it, but think about all the things you could pray to God for. From just your body, your eyesight, your legs, your arms, your ability, your strength, your clarity of mind, whatever it is. God has blessed you with it today. And extend that to your family and to your health and to your finances and to the place you live and all these things. You can spend hours just thanking God for what He's done for you. Number four, there are people that are lying upside down in their bathroom floor right now that would covet your prayers, that are struggling, maybe with cancer or other things, like we talked about with Eric, you know, heart surgery and whatever they have going on. And the Bible compels us to pray for those who are sick and to help those in prayer. And so I just encourage you to think about extended family, extended church, and all those times we have the announcements up here where somebody's like, I got a random coworker that none of you ever know and met, but I want you to pray for him. What do you do in those moments? No, I got too much other things to pray for. No. Those things can go in one ear and out the other. Man, write those down. Think about them. Read the emails that get sent out and spend a moment reflecting for somebody's sake to your Father in prayer. Number five, and I love James, hey, ask for wisdom and God will give it to you. Can you believe that? That God will give you some sort of insight and wisdom just because you ask him for it? How many things would God bless us with if it's his will, if we but ask? And so think about God improving your character and your strength of mind and your ability and your constitution so you might help him. I mean, we've seen God do it, and he wants us to pray. I'll flip through these real briefly. Pray for the lost, and pray that doors of opportunity could be opened in someone's hearts so that they could find the gospel. How many of you struggle with your own family, and you're torn up every night because they don't know Jesus, or they have known Jesus, and they walked away? And pray for those people. Think about your own family. And I know fathers and mothers probably do this, but man, pray for your children. I mean, it's fun having children, but there's stress involved. And there's stress not just in general, like, hey, I got to tie your shoe. There's stress in, how are you going to turn out? And I want you to do right and walk the straight and narrow. And I want to pray that God doesn't lead you into temptation and delivers you. I want to pray for you. You pray for our families. And guess what? If you don't have children, pray for the entire next generation that they could turn out okay. And prayer also, I mean, number eight, just glorifying God. We don't need to just spend time in prayer asking for 100 things, but spend time acknowledging God. I mean, Eric led that song, Glorify Your Name. Man, just pray that to God, that we glorify Jesus and God and the Holy Spirit, and we lift up praise to them because of who they are and what they've done, asking nothing of them. Man, pray for our church. Pray for the leaders. Pray for the people. Pray for peace. Pray for strength. Pray that we can be a light like a city set on a hill. Pray for our spiritual growth. Pray for all those things. Pray for this place. And then 10th, pray for a ready recollection of the things I'm about to say. No, I'm just kidding. Pray whatever is needed in your life. Y'all are going through 100 things. You're going through 1,000 things. I couldn't put up here all of the things you need specific prayers for. But surely you have them in your life. I couldn't sit down with one of you and you tell me, no, I'm prayed up for the week. I'm good, really. Everything I prayed for got answered. And so I'm coasting. I finish all my prayers for the week. Now, we've always got something we can take to God. This is what I want to leave you with. This week, can you be more devoted to prayer? Here's what I want you to do. When you wake up in the morning, first thing I want you to think about is, oh, Stephen told me to pray. Well, I didn't tell you to pray. God wants you to pray. And that's as good a time as any to start. Be thankful for the day. Spend some time during the day when you got some downtime and you go to reach for that phone to say, let me check on my sports. Drop it and say, and I'm going to say a prayer right now. I'm going to pray for the leaders at our church. When you're sitting down to turn on the TV at night, before you do, I want you to sit there and be like, I'm feeling guilty about what he said. I'm going to pray for our country because I'm about to turn it on and hate where I live. Right? That's what you do. Pray. Pray. But if you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, what does God want you to do? Well, he wants you to become a Christian. And you know why? Because then that unlocks the doors of prayer to God. You see, our sins have done a lot of things for us. They've separated us from God. And they separate us to the point where our prayers are not effective. You see, my sins are a barrier. I mean, the eyes of the Lord are open to the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayer, but the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. That's in the Old Testament and the New Testament. And if you're sitting here and you're thinking, hey, my way back to God is just to pray. No, your way back to God is through Jesus. And then prayer can happen. Now, how do you get to Jesus? What do you do for Jesus? Well, you got to come in faith that Jesus has already done for you. And you come confessing and acknowledging that. And you acknowledge Jesus. And you confess Jesus. And in belief of Jesus, you say, Jesus, I'm going to do better. That's called repentance. And Jesus says, hey, just like I died and was raised, I want you to die and be raised through baptism. And just as Christ was buried in baptism, you can be raised to walk in newness of life. I want you to do that. Don't go home and just say, yeah, I'm going to pray more. You got to take care of your sins. But thankful for Jesus, you can do that now. So we're going to do what we always do. We end this part of our service, man, we stand together, we sing a song, and the song's for you. If you need to do anything to make your life right, then why don't you do it? Maybe there's something we can help you with, maybe we can talk with you, pray with you, but why don't you come forward as we stand and sing.